Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Heavenly Father, we come once again into your presence. Help us to understand the Word of God. And Lord, let it do as Hebrews says, that it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's capable of piercing asunder the heart, and it divines the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, we'd like to follow you. Help us to know how to do that. Show us the things in our heart that are not right, that you're not pleased with. Help us to know how to adjust our lifestyle or what have you, to be pleasing to you. And we're careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our study out of the book of Exodus chapter 17, taking this detour as we've been for a few weeks now, talking about the spirit and the flesh. And today we're going to try and finish this chapter. And we're basically looking at Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he talks about Calvary. He talks about the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But before we get into the message, I'd like to talk again about my missions work that I do down in Haiti. You know, I've been asking, believing God, that I would be able to make a trip this year. And I'm going to be able to do so. I've purchased tickets, airline tickets. I'll be flying out December the 1st, be gone for 2 weeks. And I'm believing God for a mighty harvest of souls. I'm believing Him for great meetings. I'm believing Him that the Spirit of God would touch the hearts and minister. He's always met me when I've gone to preach down there. He's always helped me, and I'm believing Him to do it once again. The church that I attend, I've been going there for 3 or 4 months, I suppose. Harvest Time Fellowship, that's in Harvey. I used to attend a few years ago, I guess before Katrina or what have you. But they've been supporting a man named Lucien Almanord. He's a pastor in one of the regions of Haiti. And they've been giving him a monthly stipend or what have you, missions offering or something, for several years now. And it's my intention to visit him and to hopefully preach in his church or something. Pastor Lucien is a great preacher. I've heard him at Harvest Time Fellowship. He impressed me. He really did. I'm not easily impressed by preachers. To me, they're almost a dime a dozen. But he knows the Word of God and loves it and sticks to it. And the Lord has His hand upon that man's life. And I'm sure that when I go to his church, that I'll feel right at home. If you've listened to me any length of time, you know that I've talked about another area of Haiti that we go to. It's on the southwestern tip of Haiti, a couple of little towns up in the mountains called Montagnac and La Gombrie. And I go there with Pastor Gabriel Wilsonneau. He has a church again on the West Bank, New Mission Sanctified Baptist Church. He was at another church a few years ago, but he started a new work. And I've worked with this man for several years. I've made 2 trips to, again, the southwestern tip of Haiti with him and preached in his churches. And I want to say I'm very grateful for the way that God helped us at these meetings. We saw quite a number of people come to the Lord. We saw quite a number of people rededicate their hearts to God. And we're looking, as I get a chance to visit that area again with Brother Gabriel, I'm looking for God to do the same thing again, to meet us and to help us preach, that we would be able to feed the flock of God, as Paul, I believe, said. I started going to Haiti in 1993, in December of 1993, and I went back in, I guess, the tail end of January 94, at the request of Pastor Samuel Aurelius. He lives in Pachonville, and he has a few churches there in Port-au-Prince and the surrounding area, in Kinskoff and various areas. I don't know what the count is now, but in 94 he told me that he had started, during his many years of ministry, he had started 36 different churches. And he and I have a burden to help those churches and to help the pastors of those churches. And I'd ask that you'd pray for this man. But I'm going to be preaching in his church again. And the last time I did so, I don't remember what it was the Lord laid upon my heart to preach, but in the middle of it, in the middle of my sermon, he was my interpreter at the time, he stopped and thanked me for preaching whatever it is that I was preaching, and said that the Lord had sent me, because I was, apparently, I remember something of it, that I was touching on some false doctrine. And you know the way that I preach. If I'm reading through a passage and it mentions some false doctrine, then I'll stand there a minute and I'll try and explain why this false doctrine is wrong. But he stopped me in the middle of interpreting for me and thanked me and said that God had sent me, because apparently whatever doctrine it was making some inroads there, and they were concerned about it. And I'm very thankful that the Lord uses me when I go down there. Another man that I have done work with, Pastor Joseph Simon, or Simon, and he is probably deceased by now, but he has a church, or had a church. I think his son probably took over the church. He had a very big church in City Soleil, a very, very large church. Now, maybe it's comparable to what a normal church is here in the States, but they could seat probably over 1,000 people, and they would hold services on Friday morning at 10 or 11 o'clock, and they would go for a few hours into the early afternoon. And this is a slum, essentially, but they had a great work there, and a number of people came faithfully. And honestly, the church was full every time I went there. He also ran a radio station. It was out of his home. And myself and Mark Johnson, the guy that I originally started going to Haiti with, we used to preach on his station. We would preach and he would interpret. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity that he gave me to preach in his church and on his radio station. And again, I don't think he's alive anymore, but I'll try to meet with his son, and maybe we can preach in some of his services as well. Generally, I make infrequent trips to Haiti. I'll go for a couple of weeks, and it'll be 2 or 3 years before I can go back. It's my desire, and it's been my desire now for 14 years, to make regular trips. Maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, something like that, but on a regular basis. And I constantly ask God to help me, to give me favor with the people there, to give me opportunities to preach. The last time I was there, we had a stop in Jeremy. It was not planned. That's where the airport is that we have to fly to, and we'll take local transportation to Montagnac and La Gombrie. But we stayed an extra day because we missed the plane. We missed the flight. And we spent time in that little town, passing out tracts, what have you. We didn't know any pastors. We didn't participate in any services, but just walking around. And when you go to a third world country to pass out tracts, they see someone with if I can be rude, if they see a white man passing out tracts, they say, "Hey, this man's an American. He probably has something good for us." If you go to Bourbon Street and try and pass out tracts, nobody wants to pay you any mind. They'll take it maybe in spit on you, or they'll ball it up and throw it at you or something. But just walking through the marketplace, great crowds of people came. And I remember also when I was in Cité Soleil some years back, I would walk through there in that slum, and just people would come and come and come. And whatever you had in your hand, if you had 10 tracts or 50 tracts, by the time you were done, your hand was empty. They're very hungry for the Word of God. They're very hungry for the things of God, unlike this country. But I hope to be able to spend at least one extra day this time on purpose in Jeremy, and perhaps meet with some of the pastors so that as we go back, we can make it a regular stop to try and preach there, and again, to win souls. And perhaps there's other pastors that I could make contact with this time. Like I said, it's my desire that I make regular trips. I'm an evangelist. This is what God has called me to do. And I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm asking you to pray that God would give me favor, that God would help me, that He would give me what to say, that He would help those that I have an opportunity to minister to and serve. And also, I'm asking, in addition to your prayers, that you consider supporting me financially. Let me be your missionary. Let me be your evangelist. Let me go in your stead to help these people. And for that, I thank you very much. Now let's go ahead and get into the message. And I want to make this statement. I've made a comment or two about the election. And as you listen to this, the election is passed and liberty has lost. But so far I have made oblique references to the election. And I've tried to stay away from it as much as I could. But since the election is over, I have a few comments that I'd like to make from the Word of God. And when we get to it, you'll understand what I mean. But it says here, in verse 29, Peter speaking, preaching his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch or the father David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre or tomb is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. And Peter says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you should be witnesses unto me. Well, Peter, the apostles, what have you, they were eyewitnesses of all of these things. They walked with Christ for 3.5 years. They saw him crucified. They saw the empty tomb. And they also saw for 40 days that Jesus had made himself apparent to them. He appeared to them. He had a meal, at least one meal with them, after he had been raised from the dead. And we read in the book of Acts chapter 1 that he went back to heaven. 7 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit falls. And Peter stands up with the 11 and begins to preach. And if you've listened last time, and again, that was probably 4 weeks ago, you've heard me go over this in detail. But it's a great thing to be able to preach the resurrection. Buddha was a great man, and he's dead. Confucius, a great man, and he's dead. Muhammad, perhaps a great man, dead. All religions, if there was a man that walked this earth and it was deified, that man is dead. Jesus too died, but on the third day rose again. And he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. I'm not interested in dead religion. I'm not interested in some other tale. I want to serve the one that liveth and was dead, and behold, is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank God he's alive. Hallelujah. But Peter, standing up with the 11, he says here in verse 33, "Therefore, by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." And we've talked about the promise of God. We've talked about the Holy Spirit that was promised. In the previous chapter, chapter 1, he talked about it. "Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And to go over this, we've said it before, but to go over it again. The Holy Spirit was given to the church so that we would be witnesses unto Christ, that he would give power to us, so that we would be able to win souls, so that we would be able to preach with convicting power, as we'll read in just a little bit, to win souls, and so that due to our preaching, men would begin to live right. Fine, get saved, that's great, but continue to walk in newness of life. Continue to walk for the Lord, and allow him to do the work of sanctification in their hearts. "And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear." He said in verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." But this is that. And here in verse 33, "He hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear." The great and mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was a wonderful sight when the Spirit of God fell like fire from heaven. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We don't have the fire today, not physically, not in a visible sense. But the fire of the Holy Spirit can rest upon the heart of the believer and can empower the preacher. But Peter preached his great sermon. And it says here in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in their heart. They were convicted of their sin in their heart. And I thank God for his convicting power. He says in the book of John, chapter 16, "And when he is come," speaking of the Holy Spirit, and these are the words of Jesus, "and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." It's the Spirit that gives revelation. It's the Spirit that illuminates the Word of God. It's the Spirit that does the convicting work in the hearts of the sinner, and also the heart of the Christian when he begins to stray away and do wrong. The Holy Spirit will draw him back. He works in the hearts. We know that Jesus is in heaven, but by his Spirit, we know that Christ lives in our hearts if we are Christians. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent." You know, that's one of the first things that Jesus ever said when he began his public ministry. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now he's talking about a number of things here. They were convicted in their heart when they heard the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And they said, what should we do? They had seen the great outpouring of the Spirit, they knew that, hey, man, these people here, this Peter and these other guys, man, God is with these people. And as it says in one place, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. But Peter, being full of the Holy Ghost, stood up with the 11 and preached. And they were convicted of their sin and said, what shall we do? But he said, repent. And next, be baptized. And then he also said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's mainly the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And it also refers to the power of God that helps the preacher, helps the Sunday school teacher, helps the pastor, what have you. Now, as I've said, my usual way of preaching is that when I'm reading a passage and it makes some sort of comment about a heresy that's in the church, then I'll stop and say something about it. One of the heresies that came out of the Azusa Street Revival, I want to say somewhere around 1914 or something, there was a doctrine that came out that said that the Trinity was not so. And it said that there was only one God, of course. And it's sort of a twist on Sabellianism. Sabellianism says that there's the Father only, and that he sometimes shows himself to be the Son or the Holy Spirit. But there's only one being in the Godhead. It's not a Trinity, it's just one. But the current doctrine of oneness, or the apostolic doctrine, what have you, something that's preached by the United Pentecostals and other associated denominations, they say that there's only one person, not the Trinity, but one person, and that is Jesus, and that he sometimes gets schizophrenic and shows himself to be the Father or shows himself to be the Spirit, and it's wrong. It is wrong. It is a false doctrine. The Word of God teaches the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity. And those that deny the Trinity, they're wrong. And there's another verse that references this false doctrine. In verse 42, actually. And we're going to get to that in a second. But in verse 40, it says that Peter and the others did more exhortation. In verse 41, it says that 3,000 people got saved that day. That is a great and wonderful harvest of souls. In verse 47, it says that God added to the church daily. If you look at Acts chapter 4, again, they were preaching the resurrection of the dead, and it says in Acts 4, verse 4, that 5,000 people got saved. This message is powerful. Preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, this message is powerful. But it says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now that word apostles' doctrine, it means that they taught the Word of God and people became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ as taught by the apostles. They taught the same thing that Jesus taught. They taught the same thing that the Old Testament types taught. They didn't come up with some new doctrine. The United Pentecostals and what have you will take this phrase in verse 38 and they will make a doctrine out of it. And they claim that when Peter stood up with the 11 and began to preach, that he got this instant revelation that the Trinity was false, there was only one person, that was Jesus, what have you. They claim this, but it is not so. The Word of God is very plain and abundantly teaches the Trinity. And I'm going to believe the Trinity, and I'm going to preach the Trinity. In verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. In verse 44 and 45, it says, and all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And again, this is another example of a passage of Scripture being taken out of context and used to support some false idea. Jesus did not start a commune. The Word of God is not communistic. The gospel is not communistic. These people that had come to the Lord, they were enamored of their Savior. And out of love and compassion, they gave their extra stuff, they sold it or gave it directly to those that were poor or what have you. And this continues today. It is a fact that most charitable giving in the United States is done by Christians. Christians give out of love. Communism or socialism or Marxism, what have you, takes from the rich by force. And not just the rich. If you have any kind of job at all, they will take your money. Jesus was not a community organizer. I don't care what Obama has said. Jesus was not a community organizer. Barack Hussein Obama is not the Messiah. I don't care what Nancy Pelosi or Louis Farrakhan or the Obama campaign has said. Obama is not the Messiah. I know the Messiah. The one that liveth and was dead and behold is alive forevermore. I'm going to serve the one that rose from the dead. Obama does not love you. Obama has not given his life for you. And Obama has not risen from the dead. He is not the Messiah. I urge instead that you put your trust in Christ, the one that gave his life for the sins of the world, the one that gave his life lovingly for the people that hated him, so that they could be saved. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.